is an odd little book. It emphasizes the day of the Lord. During Judah's hectic political religious history, reform comes through a prophet. And this prophet is one, this is one of the only prophets that of royal lineage. He's of royal lineage. He's Hezekiah's great-great-grandson. His forceful prophecy may be one of the major factors that brought Israel back to God through a revival. The outward changes in people's lives are brought about by inward conviction and conversion and new life. Zephaniah keeps on hammering home his message about the day of the Lord and judgment day to come. Remember when Jonah went to Nineveh, he talked about judgment. I think it's good to preach hellfire and damnation souls, sermons, because it brings people to the Lord many times. Zephaniah said that there's going to be chastening come, but after the chastening comes, there's going to be healing. Zephaniah traces himself and his lineage back four generations to Hezekiah. This is probably Hezekiah, the king of Judah, since this would best explain this genealogy given to us. If Zephaniah was the great-grandson of the godly king Hezekiah, he was the only prophet of royal descent. This probably gave this prophet freer access to the court of King Josiah, in whose reign he administered to the people. Zephaniah was probably in the palace because he says this place, Zephaniah 1:4, referring to Jerusalem, he was quite familiar with the features and the outline of Jerusalem. He was probably an inhabitant of this royal city. Zephaniah saw Jesus Christ in his second coming. Jesus in his ministry alluded to Zephaniah in two different occasions. Zephaniah 1:3 in Matthew 13:41 and Zephaniah 1:15 in Matthew 24:29. Both of these passages refer to the day of the Lord, associated with Christ's second coming, not his first. The Messiah is not mentioned in Zephaniah, but it's clearly he is the one who will fulfill the great promises in chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. He will gather his people and will reign in glory. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared the way of your enemies. The king of Israel is in your midst, and you will fear no disaster any longer. The key word in the book of Zephaniah, of course, is the day of the Lord. The key chapter in the book of Zephaniah is chapter 3. Now, this is probably written between 640 and 621 B.C., Lord Zephaniah is Jehovah is hidden or is in darkness. His prophecy and message is focused on Jerusalem. The people of Israel had displaced and misplaced their religious loyalties. The gods of Canaan, Assyria, and Ammon were being worshipped but the Lord was being neglected. People are religious, but the most religious people in the world are, the most active religious people in the world are pagans. People like Catholicism, they're very, and Islam. These people have very much, very, very great religious rituals they follow. But the religious rituals do not bring you to God. Jehovah was no longer active in their religion or in their homes. Dabar Jehovah. There was a reprobate society here at this time. Reprobate was one who denies the faith. And the word, Hadavar, of the Lord, which came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi. Cushi means black, and son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will remove man and beast, and I will remove the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and the ruins, along with the wicked. And I will cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. And I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. They're pagan gods. Baal means Lord. And the names of those idolatrous priests along with the priests. Israel's priests were worshiping Baal. They were getting paid, but they're worshiping Baal. And those who bow down on the housetops of the host of heaven, and those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom, and those who have turned back from following the Lord, and those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of Him, they haven't prayed to God. Be silent before the Lord, before Jehovah, before Adonai God, Jehovah Elohim. For the day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord, this is his key verse. The judgment day of the Lord is near. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guest. Then it will come about in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's sons. The day of the Lord again. Already, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord means judgment. And all who clothe themselves with foreign garments, and I will punish on that day all who leap on the temple threshold. They got up and they danced. In some of the charismatic churches today, they're dancing around all over the place. This is exactly what the pagans did back then. God said, I don't want that. I don't want them leaping around in ecstatic temporary madness. Mantuomene is the Greek word. Who fill the house of the Lord with violence and deceit. On the day, declares the Lord, there will be a sound of the cry from the fish gate. This is the place in Jerusalem, of course. And a wail from the second quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the people of Canaan will be silenced. All who weigh out silver will be cut off, all the bankers. And it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with giant lamps. I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. The Lord is just there, you know, he's not going to do anything. Moreover, their wealth will become plunder for somebody else. And their houses desolate. And they will build houses, but not inhabit them. They will build a new house, but not inhabit them. I'm reminded of the Winchester house, where the woman thought as long as she was building that house, that she would not live. As long as that house being built, she'd live. But she died. They will build houses, but they will not inhabit them. They will plant vineyards, but will not drink of their wine. Near is the great day of the Lord. Again, the day of the Lord. The day of judgment. Near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it, the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and of desolation, a day of darkness and gloom. Like in Genesis 1 and 2. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and the high corner towers. And I will bring distress upon men. And they will walk like the blind. Because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood will be poured out like dust. And their flesh like dung. And neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them on the day of the Lord's wrath. The day of the Lord. And all the earth will be devoured in the fire of his jealousy, for he will make a complete end, indeed a terrifying end, of all the inhabitants of the earth. This is talking about way over yonder, the day of the Lord, way over there. Judgment on Judah's enemies now. He's talking about that. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather. A nation. O nation without shame, before the decree takes effect. The day passes like the chaff. Before the burning anger of the Lord comes upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. The day of the Lord. Seek the Lord. All you humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinance, seek righteousness and seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Remember what Zephaniah means? Hidden from Jehovah. For Gaza will be abandoned. Ashkelon a desolation. Ashdod will be driven out at noon. And Ekron will be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast of the Mediterranean. The nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you. O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you, and that there will be no inhabitant, so that the seacoast will be pastures, nothing but fields, with caves for shepherds and folds for flocks, and the coast will be for the remnant of the house of Judah. And they will pasture on it. In the houses of Ashkelon, they will lie down at evening. And the Lord their God will be care for them and restore them and their fortune. I have heard the taunting of Moab and the revilings of the sons of Ammon. And remember now, these are Lot's descendants, which they have taunted my people and become an arrogant against their territory. Therefore, I live as I live, declares the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. The God of Israel, surely Moab will be like Sodom. What happened to Sodom? God rained fire and brimstone on it. Atomic explosions that just melted that city. And the son of Ammon like Gomorrah. And a place possessed by nettles, stickers, salt pits, and perpetual dissolution. The remnant of my people will plunder them. The remnant of my nation will inherit them. This will have in return for their pride, because they have taunted and become arrogant against the people of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrifying to them, and he will starve all the gods of the earth, and all the coastlands of the nations will bow down to him evermore from his own place. And you, O Ethiopians, will be slain by the sword. By my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria. And he will make Nineveh a desolation. That happened in 609 to 612 BC. Parts like the wilderness, and flocks will lie down on her midst. All the beasts will range in herds. Both the pelican and the hedgehog will lodge in the tops of her pillars. Birds will sing in the window. Desolation will be on the threshold, for he has laid bare the cedar work. There is an exultant city which dwells securely, who says in her heart, I am and there is no one beside me. How she has become the desolation, a resting place for beasts. Everyone who passes by her will hiss and wave his hand in contempt. Woe to Jerusalem and the nations. Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled. She heeded no voice. She accepted no instruction. She did not trust in the Lord. She did not draw near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves of the evening. They leave nothing for the morning. The wolves in the evening begin to howl. Ooh, ooh. The wolves in the evening begin to howl, and they begin to look for something to devour. There are wolves in the south end of this valley. If you go down there, you can hear the wolves howl in the evening. Her prophets are reckless and treacherous men. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous within her, and he will do no injustice. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He does not fail, but the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their corner towers are in ruins. The corner towers are where they protect themselves. That's where they had archers and defense. I'm going to cut off all their defense. I've made their streets a desolation, with no one passing by. Their cities are laid waste without a man, without an inhabitant. I said, surely you will revere me, you will honor me, you will fear me. Accept instruction, so her dwelling will not be cut off. According to all that I have appointed concerning her, good King Josiah heard these words, and he began to act. But they were eager to corrupt all their deeds. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to the prey. Indeed, my decision is gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, my wrath. Revelation, the 19th chapter. All my burning anger for all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal. For then I will give to the people's purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings. In that day you will feel no shame, because of all your deeds which you have done, have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from them from your midst your proud exalting ones, and you will never again be not haughty on my holy mountain. And then there's going to be a remnant. There's always a remnant, isn't there? There's always some that believe. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The Old Testament prophets in another place say, when they see the Lord coming in the clouds of heaven, they will say, where did you receive those wounds in your hands and in your side and in your feet? And he will say, in the house of my friends. And they will weep as one weeps for his only begotten son. Take refuge in the name of the Lord, and the remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they shall feed and lie down, with no one to make them a tremble. This is like sheep in the field. The shepherd protects them with his life, and they will eat and they will lie down in the field and chew their cud. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you, and he has cleared away your enemies. And a king of Israel the Lord is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt you. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. He will be quiet in his love. Isn't that something? He will be quiet in his love. I will gather those who have grieved about the appointed feast. And I will come upon you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is burdened on them. Behold, I'm going to deal at that time with all of your oppressors. And I will save the lame, and I will gather the outcast, and I will turn your shame into praise and renown in all the earth. And at that time I will bring you in, even at a time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, thus says the Lord, God will bring Israel into that land for 1,000 years, and they will be honored by all of the other nations. They will lead the world in worship. And yet the first time that Jesus came to them, they refused him. They spit upon him. They murdered him. But when he comes back again, they'll be looking for a Savior, because things get real tough at the end of that, in the middle to the end of that tribulation period that's brought upon Israel. And God will bring them back to themselves. And it says the whole nation will be born in a day. The Bible also says that not one lost person will go into the millennial reign. Epitaskes, Ela Adres, upon this very earth. Father, please use your message to turn hearts to you. Show them how much you love them. Show them how much you gave for them to be born again and of your Son. Father, just thank you for your word. What you've left behind us is a gold mine of instruction, and we appreciate it. Father, use it for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.